The brethren who stand before you at various times in Bible schools and ecclesias and fraternal gatherings, if brethren had to wait until they were perfect before they could expound on the Word of God, naturally, we would never get up before you. The subject that I have in mind today is a very difficult subject because it has so many ramifications, and because I am so personally afflicted with the elements within this subject. And I can only get up the courage to speak on this type of subject because you've got the same problem. Now, most of the people in this audience have certain physical diseases, illnesses that you are under treatment for at the present time. There's one illness that everyone in this audience has got, and it's identical to the same illness. And we would simply call it human nature. The medical profession has, within the last 30 years, has come to the very solid conclusion that emotional problems are the cause of. Now, this is what the doctors say. Now, get these statistics here because they are so serious. The medical profession now says that at least 60%, and some will even go as to 100% of all human illness starts in the mind. Now, rather than stretch the point, we'll eliminate what may seem to be an imbalance and eliminate that. But I'm fully convinced that really at least 60% is in this classification. The doctors, these are two paperback books that doctors have written. Dr. S.I. Macmillan, who wrote None of These Diseases, is afflicted with some of the diseases that you might have. He's got one disease, or illness, that I have. And this subject became a serious consideration for me not to stand up before you and tell you how I have conquered something. And now I want to tell you how to come up on the mountain, you get it conquered also. I'm considering this subject because I am still afflicted with the various diseases and the various things that come up in this subject, and you are too. This doctor has an ulcer. Well, I have an ulcer. You might have an ulcer. Well, I don't care any way you cut the cake. If you've got an ulcer, you've had bad emotions somewhere along the line. Now, if you're feeling proud about yourself because you don't have an ulcer, and you say, well, that's not me, so you can look at me as a weakling. You've got problems. It may not be ulcers, but you've got them. If you don't think you've got them, you've got more problems than you realize. Psychology is the science that treats of the mind. I think one of the most beautiful touching scriptures that can be brought to your attention, and if I remember correctly, this scripture was brought to our attention yesterday when people were asked to quote scriptures. You have to have walked somewhere down a certain path before this type of scripture will have had any meaning for you. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Get that. How many of you have read that or similar scriptures, and the overwhelming comfort that came to you when he knoweth our frame? He remembers that we're clay. That's the kind of deity we worship. A father who knoweth our frame. Regardless what you may think about this scripture and how uncomfortable it might make you, is not important. But God inspired Jeremiah to say, the heart is deceitful above everything and desperately wicked are the mind. That's the kind of mind you've got here. But the very kind of mind that this whole audience has got. And he goes further and says, well then, who can know it? God says, I can know it. I search it because I know it perfectly. Let me read from page 65. Of none of these diseases. I'll cover very little of this subject. These are some Bible school class notes, and we don't intend to even begin to get into the subject as well as it could be. But we're going to try to bring some thought to ourselves to see what really sorrowful condition that we are in. No one can appreciate so fully as a doctor the amazingly large percentage of human disease and suffering which is directly traceable to worry, fear, conflict, immorality, dissipation, and ignorance, to unwholesome thinking and unclean living. The sincere acceptance of the principles and teachings of Christ with respect to the life of mental peace and joy, the life of unselfish thought and clean living, would at once wipe out more than half the difficulties, diseases, and sorrows of the human race. The teachings of Jesus applied to our modern civilization, understandingly applied, not merely nominally accepted, would so purify the spirit and uplift and vitalize us that the race would immediately stand out as a new order of beings, possessing superior mental power and increased moral force. I want you to get this point. Irrespective of the future rewards of living, don't even think about eternal life. If we could apply the healing medicine of the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of the Bible as a whole, you would live this life with a much fuller way. If you aren't even trying to get eternal life, this type of thing would help you now. Laying aside all discussions of future life, it would pay any man or woman to live a Christ-like life for the mental and moral rewards it affords here in this present world. Someday, man may awake to the fact that the teachings of Christ are potent and powerful in preventing and curing disease. Someday, our boasted scientists or scientific development as regards mental and moral improvement may indeed catch up with the teachings of this man of Galilee. Well, there are two classifications of emotions. We might call them pleasant and unpleasant. I would rather prefer the term good emotions, bad emotions, or evil emotions. Let's list some of these good emotions. Hope. Courage. Affection. Joy. Oh, here's one. Oh, this is one. Look at this one. Contentment. You know, if you have contentment, you can't be very agitated in your mind. The two just do not go together if you're contented. And then, of course, all of us know the power of this, which none of us have by any means perfected within ourselves, and it is, I need some more chalk. Can someone go to the office? And I had a larger piece here. Oh, here it is. Pardon, I've got it. Love. Now, the class notes are designed that these things come in later, so I'm going to dwell. Well, it seems awful that I'd have to dwell on this, but we've got to know what the enemy is before we can deal with it. Bad emotion. Can you see that at the back, what I've got written up there? Anger. Fear. Oh, look at this one. Envy.
anxiety. Look at this one, brethren. Hey, anybody like this infer that you've never known this? Somebody in this audience like to think, well, I see myself in some of those others, but no, I don't believe I do see myself in that. You better see yourself in it.
You've lived in this time at all. You've had it. This goes up. Here's something, Alicia. Resentment.
I don't mind telling you, brethren. I can stand before you and tell you. I've been afflicted with every one of those. Whether you'd admit it or not, you have too. I'm not up here alone. I don't stand alone with these emotions. You've got them too. And you've had some of these emotions since you've been on the Bible school grounds. We may have controlled them a little better here because there are conditions and circumstances where things are a little more pleasant. You've had them.
Well, since we can't consider all of them, let's take the first one. Brother Lyman, will you look up Ecclesiastes 7:9 for us and stand up and read it? And Brother Harold Lafferty, after Brother Lyman gets through reading that, would you stand up? And would you read Proverbs 16:32? And Brother Mike, would you stand up after those two and read Psalms 37:8? All right, let's have our Ecclesiastes. No, wait a minute. Yeah, Ecclesiastes 7:9, and read it loud. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Have you ever been a fool? If you say no, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. How can anyone from, well, I might even say 6 months old, but how can anyone say, I've never been angry? Well, if you've been angry, God says, well, anger resteth in the bosom of a fool. Well, all right, I'm looking at an audience of fools at one time because you've been there, and I have too. Oh, if we could erase some of the stupid and embarrassing situations which we've been in because of our anger. All right, let's have the next scripture, Proverbs 16:32. Listen, when you find a man or a woman that can control his spirit, you've got a strong, mature individual. Have you not? Yes, you have. But don't be a fool and think that you're always going to be in control, because you're not. You could walk right out of this lecture, and I could too, and find myself guilty of one of those bad emotions over there right now. That's just how vile human nature is. All right, Brother Mike, let's have your scripture from Psalm 37:8. You can fret yourself to such an extent that you can be angry and agitated all the time. You show me a person that's always fretting and fretting and fretting, and I'm going to show you a very discontented person, and if they're fretting enough, they're going to spread some of the disease to you. You can't stay around that person very long before they're going to involve you. I remember not too long ago, I just want to show you what anger is like. And I don't condemn this man, because I've been so angry myself that I'd be a hypocrite to think look how strong I am. Well, I'd never be that foolish, because I have been, and you have also. But this is what happened one time with me. I went to Oklahoma City, and when I got in the city, I was looking for a certain street and a certain marker. And as I was looking for that sign to make a turn off, I hadn't realized that my car veered over into the other lane. Well, there happened to be a man in a pickup truck behind me, and after the whole incident happened, he was probably an oil field worker. He was a very powerfully built man, and just almost as black as any Ethiopian you ever saw. And he had all these tools in his truck, and so when I started drifting over, I hadn't realized what I was doing. And of course, he was up there, and one of his emotions of anger was just tearing him up, just tearing him completely up. Of course, I have no knowledge of this. But as I got back over into my lane, not knowing what was going on, he roared around me, and he had his window down. And I'm telling you, the obscene language is flowing out of that window like you've never heard before. And I could tell, as angry as that man was, I knew I hadn't seen the last of him. And I'm telling you, I was becoming concerned. Because when he roared around me, he was like, and sure enough, this man came all the way around the block. And he was an embarrassment to me, because it was at a drive-in, and a lot of people were out with their children having their evening meal. And they saw this, and they saw what he was doing, and so they were just like an emotion picture. They said, well, here's something that's really going to be interesting. So here he comes around again. Well, by this time, I was concerned. And I parked my car, and I got out with my map, and I laid it on the hood of the car. I was afraid if I hadn't gotten out of the car, he'd have drugged me out of it, so I thought I'd save him the incident of doing that. But when he got out of that truck, he was still spewing out the cursing, and he was livid with rage. And that man, I'm not joking when I said that man was at the point that he could have beat me to a pulp and killed me. This is how infuriated he was. Well, a scripture leaped into my mind. And it was that scripture, a soft answer does what? Turneth away wrath. Now, look, it wasn't that I was Christ-like. That's the scripture that came to mind. It wasn't that, here, oh, my little halo began to shine. No, I tell you, I was fearful for my hide. I knew that man would leave me at the bottom of his feet if I opened my mouth. And one thing, if I'd have said one thing that was out of the ordinary, he would have pulverized me right there. So it was through fear that I was so meek as a lamb, and I began to say, well, sir, and I called him sir. Well, sir, I realized that I had done the wrong thing, and I said, I had my mind. But I kept on with the softness. And this went on for a certain period of time, and as my quietness, my voice was so quiet, through fear, that as he saw this chewing and gnawing and tearing and ranting and raving began to quieten down. And I could see it immediately, just begin to drop. And then when it was all over, the man says, oh yes, the sign that in the street you want to get on is here and here and here. And then he walked away in his truck, and everything was fine, see. But if I had have said something out of line, you can imagine what happened. Can you imagine what happened if that joker had gotten out of his truck and met another like him? You'd have seen almost like two tomcats clawing and biting and chewing and scratching right there in front of everybody. But this is what human nature is like. And did you know I wasn't one bit superior to that man? Not one bit. That just happened to be his time that he was angry and making a fool of himself. I can hark back and know that where I've been a fool. And can you? Can you? Well, if you think you've got anger all lit, let me just remind you of something. How many of you have read Test Case for Canada about Brother John Evans when he was a conscientious objector during the First World War? Here is a Christian man, a baptized believer. Listen to what he says. In some of his experiences, he was unjustly beaten and mistreated. And one man in particular abused Brother Evans quite severely. And listen at Brother Evans' account of his emotion of anger. He could include resentment. He resented what was being done, and he certainly had hate, because you don't feel this way unless you have anger, you have hate, you have resentment. I won't read the whole thing, what happened to Brother Evans, but this is what he says. I offered no resistance, although my actual urge was to kill him was very great, and I could have done so had I yielded to temptation. You get that? A brother in Christ. Although my actual urge to kill him was very great, and I could have done so had I yielded to temptation. This ties in very well with something that all of us, or most of us, have read quite recently, in which I've gotten a great deal of admonition from, and it's from the June 1973 Advocate, which just goes back 2 months, by Brother Grocott, called Let a Man Examine Himself. I want you to listen to the powerful words and reasonings of this brother, which he wrote evidently not only from his knowledge of the scriptures, but he wrote from human experience. Individual spiritual transformation of character is the only solution to ecclesial problems, or problems period. There is no use wasting time and effort on any other attempts at solutions. They do not get to the root of the problem. They may patch up, paper over, but they do not purify. The trouble is rooted deep in the natural flesh. If brethren and sisters can be persuaded to let God completely transform their characters, then ecclesial troubles, or we might say individual troubles also, can and will be solved. There is no other way. Now listen at this. Naturally, all, now that means all of you, naturally all of us are evil. You don't like that. Doesn't feel comfortable, does it? Well, that's what we are. Those young people back there are naturally evil. You older people are naturally evil. You children are naturally evil. I'm naturally evil. Get this. Listen to brother's words to describe us. And don't look at me as I read it. Look at you, because if you look at me, you're not getting the message. So look at yourself as we read these. Naturally, all of us are evil. Quarrelsome. Touchy. Harsh. Selfish. Impatient. Cruel. Vengeful. Spiteful. Belligerent. How do you like that catalog about us? And then he says, and how true it is. It takes but very little irritation to bring all of this out in
ugly display. The word even sounds bad, doesn't it? Ugly display. He says it takes very little irritation to make this pop out of you, Frank. Not just you, Frank. You too. But he says it takes very little of this to make us get heated up. The vicious diabolus lurks very close beneath the surface in us all. This is the character of all human flesh, without exception. Those of you who want to, you might turn over with me to Acts 23. Acts 23:1-5. This is concerning Paul. And Paul earnestly, beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, "God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law?" And they that stood by said, "Revilest thou God's high priest?" Then said Paul, "I wist not, or I knew not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." But can't you put yourself in Paul's place, a man that had more control of himself and was one of the most powerful spiritual characters in the whole realm of the scriptures? He was trying to make his defense, and the high priest said, "Slap him on the mouth, just pop him good." And he did. Now listen, I could come out there and slap your mouth now or later, or you could do that to me. And don't tell me what the natural reaction would be. You wouldn't say, "Oh, hit me again." No, you want to draw back and give it to him. Now that's what we are, brethren. That's what we are. How possibly can we fight the real enemy unless we know who it is? You know, brethren and sisters, the quicker we comprehend, there's no individual that can ever be the enemy to you that you can to yourself. I don't care who it is. You may be irritated by certain personalities, and they may have done this and may have done that, but nobody can ever be the enemy to you like you can and like I can to ourselves. The real enemy is me. The real enemy is you. I can't really do anything to you. Not anything like what you can do to yourself. You know what an immature person does, and we're all immature. I mean, there's some immaturity in all of us. The immature person, whenever difficulties arise in their life, the immature person inevitably always tries to find somebody to lay the blame on. Is that a true statement? Yes. You want a scapegoat. So rather than, it's so painful to look within yourself, so when things go wrong, then you start chewing, and you're looking for someone else to lay the blame on. "Well, if they hadn't have done this, or if they hadn't have done that, or if that hadn't have happened, I wouldn't do this, and I would this one, and that." No, the real problem is with ourselves. And the immature person is the one that immediately always is trying to find excuse to blame it on somebody else, and we're all guilty of that. I've been guilty of it, and you have too. Let me read a small portion from another book here. How to Live
365 days a year. Immaturity is the cause of muddling through. The problem boils down to this. People conduct their lives so poorly and have conducted their lives so poorly through all the ages because no one has ever been taught how to grow up into full-rounded maturity. All of us, including the most dignified and responsible executives, fail to grow up in some important department of living. All of us continue to react to certain adult problems with childish reactions. Now, all of us have seen children, and boy, I'm telling you, I've been tempted to really wail the daylights out of a kid when I see this, and you have too. If that mother or father, and usually it's the mother, got this kid in a supermarket or something, and that kid wants something, and then it just lays down, and I mean, it begins to kick, stomp, cry, and just everything. I want it, I want it. No, you can't. I want it, I want it. And just to pull him into, and she said, now listen, we react this way. We don't literally get down and kick and stomp and pound. But you know, we do this in other more subtle ways. So really, when you look at us, just real good, we're not way above this. We're not way above this. And that person, which has got to have his or her way every time, is the most miserable person that can walk the face of the earth. And if you'll notice, that type of person is always sick and grunting. Say if you want to. May make some feel uncomfortable, but that's what it is. They're always grunting. Now, the doctors say that 99% of headaches are caused by tension. You know, nerves, emotions. 99%. Asthma. Backache. I was amazed that the percentage of backache is caused from stress in the emotions. And all of us know the things that can happen to the digestive tract in emotion. Now, I got interested in this subject about 5 or 6 years ago. And the reason I got interested in it is because I've been afflicted in certain ways. And some of my illnesses have been attributed to bad emotions. And I can hark back when and where I came down with the emotional induced illness of ulcers. If I could have been more mature, really trusting in God, having better control of myself, I would never have had this illness. And I was so dull of comprehension, of any ability to cope with some of my emotions. I've had a flare-up of that thing at 2 different times, extremely serious. And one time, it just about took me off. So it became very serious to me. You've got to learn something to control yourself better. Now, you like to look at me and say, well, you know that, Brother Ned's got a real problem there, and we feel sorry for him and everything. But you know every one of you's got something too. You may not want to come up here and say that, and I'm not asking you to. But don't waste all your pity on me, because listen, brothers and sisters, you've got something there too. You're eat up with something, that's for sure. Do you realize that there are so many portions of that Bible
that actually, brethren, I mean actually, could be called a medical text for wholesome, healthy living. That book, just the Sermon on the Mount, if we could digest it and utilize it, would be one of the most healing, joyful, peaceful things that you could ever do. And I've noticed around here, and I've noticed it anywhere you go, there's more medicine taken than I've ever seen in my life. But what our age, we're under stresses and strains, and you know, we're trying to cope with our illnesses through artificial means. That's what the drug culture is about. That's what alcohol is about. That's, everybody wants to hide, flee, get away from the problems that are nagging them. And the young people are some of the worst ones that are using drugs to get away from problems. They don't have to look very far. They'll look their adults. They're doing it too. But you know what? It just comes right down to it, whether you like to say it or not. It comes right in. Isn't that what we call the cowardly way out? Sure it is. Anytime you take artificial means to escape life and its problems, you're taking a cowardly way out. And I know that there's a certain amount of philosophy and spirit in some people who think that, oh, if a man can drink, that's supposed to show his manliness. Boy, I'm telling you, if that shows manliness, never let me be a man. And some men have that, really have that stupid idea that being a hard drinker and being able to hold his liquor is really something. That's nothing at all. That is just a glaring manifestation of immaturity. Well, we can't go further, much further on this. But what I would say, and try to leave with you, and Jesus said it, do you want peace? Do you want rest? Well, he says, I have a medicine, how you can get it. But you know what some of that medicine is? It seems like it's about as hard to take as castor oil or something else, and it's this. Well, all right, humble yourself. You're not going to get any peace, you're not going to get any rest, and neither am I, unless you humble yourself. Now, I'm going to conclude, but let's go back over here. All of those things, or any one of them, can tear your physical condition into shreds, and a combination of them can simply devastate you. You know, let's forget this a minute, but you know that'll eat you to pieces. Kenya, if any of you out there say, well, now, wait a minute, how could that envy, that can eat at the vitals of a man or a woman where it can actually kill them. And holding this, have you ever felt resentment? What does the scripture say? The scripture says, let not what? The sun go down on your wrath or your resentment or your agitation. But how many of us really believe that? And how many of us really practice that? Very few of us. But what we are trying to say to you, brethren, is that the healing medicine is here. And to a small degree, we each have somewhat been healed by its message. But we need to think more and more of this problem, because, brethren, bad emotions will prevent us from ever gaining eternal life.